Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of the Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. Start off with our guest segment first. Very pleased to have special guest here, Kirk Morrison. I'm not even sure how to introduce you. our producer, you know, Jacob, who's a San Diego State dude, you know.
Yeah, there we
go. It's like San Diego State, great, and, you know, Oakland. My other guy that's usually on the podcast that pops on the second segment is San Diego State and Oakland Raiders. Everything's Oakland Raiders great.
Yeah.
I mean, he even described Norv Turner as Oakland Raiders great. He coached 1 year, I think. That's the year you were there. But so Oakland Raiders great, San Diego State great, and my friend Kirk Morrison, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dr. Chow, man. Great to be with you as always, brother. It's been a while, but glad to share this space with you.
I know. I got to invite you on the podcast to chat with you. We don't even talk.
Man, you already know summertime is close. And when you got, you know, kids running around, man, it is hard to stay in contact. But you know what? I'm always with you mentally, man. I'm still following everything that you do. So I'm connected, but in different ways.
Yeah, always connected. But when they sent me the stuff and all the stats, I was like, look, I knew I was old, but boy, we're all getting old.
Yeah, we're getting there, man. But you know what? It's been a long time. We've seen a lot. We've grown a lot. And, you know, it's now it's kind of just, you know, helping the next generation share our experiences and hoping that others can, you know, kind of go down those paths and have a better understanding of how to navigate them.
All right. So let's just start right there. Look, I'm a terrible interviewer. Let's just have a conversation.
Stop it.
You're a professional. You can ask questions anytime you want. Let's start right there. What would Kirk Morrison today wish? What would he tell young Kirk Morrison? What information or what insight do you wish you had known when you were young?
You know, a lot of it, I'm going to be honest with you, I kind of had an sort of early inclination of how things would kind of go with my career. I wouldn't lie to you about that, Dr. Chow, because, you know, I remember when I first got drafted back in 2005 to the Raiders, my mom, you know, actually she had tears in her eyes and she said, I'm crying because I'm happy and sad at the same time. I said, how can you be happy and sad at the same time? She says, well, I'm happy because a dream of yours, you achieve, you've accomplished something. You've accomplished going to the National Football League. Now, I'm also crying because I'm sad because it's probably not going to end the way that you want it to. Hmm. It's probably not a situation in which you're going to, you know, be on a, you know, a white horse and ride off into the sunset and with an amazing Hall of Fame career with many Pro Bowls and all that success. It didn't sort of happen that way. So for me, it was a career in which that I had to work. And so if there was anything I would tell my younger self is to control what you can control. You know, Dr. Chow played for 6 head coaches in my 8 years in the National Football League, 6 different head coaches in 8 years. So if there was something I would tell my younger self is make sure you can control what you can control, which is my attitude, my effort, my hard work, my dedication, continue to do those things and hopefully inspire other teammates, inspire others. But at the end of the day, don't get caught up on the outside noise or maybe what's going on internally. You've been around it. I've been around it. Some things are out of our hands, out of our pay scale, right? So I just learned to me for real that just control what you can control. Do what you're supposed to do. And a lot of times things will take care of themselves.
Well, that's good advice. I think in life in general, and look, in my time in the league, I said all the time, that's not my above my pay scale. I had a
GM exactly
tell me once, you know, I'd give a bad grade on a draft prospect or something, medical grade. Yeah, but he's good. We want to sign him, like draft him. Like, go ahead. I'm just giving you his medical 40 time. Correct. And it's not that fast. If you think he's got game speed, by all means. I remember one time there was I don't want to name names, I guess. Or
right.
This guy's got 100-plus tackles. Yeah, he's got bad knees. He doesn't like to worry about them. Don't make a big deal about his knees. Just pass him on his physical. We're going to sign him. I'm like, look, I'm just going to assign a grade. And thankfully, I assigned him a relatively low grade. He didn't care. He was going to sign him anyways. And sure enough, he did not finish the season and needed knee surgery. And at least, because if I didn't do that, then ownership and others would come at me and go, well, what happened here? What
happened? Yeah.
One time, this is another true story. We had David Benn forever.
Forever, yeah. Ever. The legend of David Benn. Many always want to know, why was he on the team? Was it more of his athletic prowess as a great long snapper, or was his girlfriend at the time one of the reasons why he stayed around?
Well, what you're referring to, of course, we actually had Dave on the podcast earlier this year.
Yeah.
And I guess for the first time, he told the story publicly about Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And to recap it, or maybe our editor or our producer will cut it in here, the segment with David Benn. But basically, he's at a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Earned, like deserved. But you Correct. Know, snappers are appointed by the head coach. Yeah. And, you know, right, whoever the head coach is. And he tells a story about Belichick coming up and said, where's your girlfriend? And he's like, Pamela? He goes, yeah. Why isn't she here? She here? She goes, no, she didn't make it. And his quote was, remind me why the F we invited you.
Yeah. That was always the running gossip before the game, especially amongst the specialists. Was Dave Benn, you know, their long snapper, he's his girlfriend's Pamela Anderson. So that was always, we'll get a nice little chuckle, a little rise out of the guys before the game, because we're walking around like, if this long snapper is able to pull Pamela Anderson, come on, man, I know I've got a shot. So it was always it was always fun to hear guys kind of talk about that, especially the specialists.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely good fodder there. But anyways, David Benn finally got injured and this, that, the other. And I remember one time, you know, on Tuesday is free agent physical Tuesday, right?
Correct.
There's all these players that come in for physicals and workouts and see who gets signed kind of thing. Monday, sometimes they even come in depending. And one time we had literally five long snappers. They all were in my office at 8 a.m. on Tuesday in five different rooms. I'm looking at him. And one of your brethren, Ross Tucker.
Yeah.
You're a sex-in guy. Yes. Ross. When I first met Ross in the media world, he hated me. He goes, because he said, when I came in to do a free agent physical at the Chargers, you x-rayed me head to toe. And I'm like, he goes, other teams didn't really do that. You x-rayed me head to toe. And at that time, there wasn't electronic medical records where you can get it from other places.
Correct.
And I said, all I said to Ross was, if you were an owner, you want me to x-ray you head to toe or let you go? I get you didn't like it, but that's kind of what I need to do. And so getting back to the long snapper, we had five of them. We finally we signed one of the five.
Okay.
And this guy was big. I didn't think he could run, but that wasn't my job. Stay in your lane above my pay grade. He was big for a long snapper. He couldn't come down and cover, but that's not my job. Medically, he passed. And literally the first practice, he broke his foot. Now, here's the thing. The team got mad at me and said, what the heck? You passed him on a physical. I pulled out the x-rays and said they were normal. What do you want me to do? You know?
Right.
And so... which brings us to the next topic. Your Raiders, Jimmy G, agrees to a contract and apparently something on the physical, the Lisfranc, and has surgery. Give me your take on that.
You know, it's a situation where you never know the severity of an injury. This injury occurred while he's a member of the San Francisco 49ers in the 2022 season. which kind of opened a door for Brock Purdy. Remember, this was the Jimmy Garoppolo was the second quarterback to be injured for the 49ers that season. Remember, they started off with Trey Lance. He got injured early on, I believe in week two. And then all of a sudden now you bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, the team's rolling, they're doing great. And then he has the foot injury. Mm-hmm. And then Brock Purdy comes in, plays great, but everyone's always in the back of their mind, when does this sort of magic fairy dust stop? You know, this magical season so far with Brock Purdy as the 49ers continue to keep rising up the ranks and, you know, make it all the way to an NFC championship game. Does Jimmy Garoppolo ever get his job back or, you know, what's his status? And I think it was a possibility that they let the foot heal on its own. And like I said, I'm not the team doctor with the 49ers, but the thought process was see if the foot can heal, get as probably as close to, you know, 100% as possible, and then just have surgery in the off season. Well, a lot of that, I think, with Jimmy was that he was fine enough to be the backup quarterback, possibly if they went to the Super Bowl. Now, he wasn't able to be that quarterback in the conference championship game, and that was kind of the telltale sign there. But hey, off season comes, he's one of the big storylines in terms of a quarterback that can come in and you know, and lead a team to a Super Bowl because he's done it before. He's been a starter in the Super Bowl. He's got that capability. But, you know, there was a lot of smoke when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo in terms of when you think about his press conference. It was delayed 24 hours. And I think now as you start to look back at the timing of the Jimmy Garoppolo signing, you realize that he may not have been 100%. And I think to add to the point, I look at the year prior as well. Remember, Jimmy Garoppolo agreed to a different contract going into the 2022 season. No, I remember that Trey Lance was already labeled the guy, was already told, hey, you're going to be the starting quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo, because of the surgery he elected to get, and I believe this was the thumb surgery, I believe. He had
going into the season.
Yeah, going into the season. Was it a thumb surgery?
Shoulder.
I'm sorry, shoulder.
Which the 49ers said, nothing to see here. He's fine.
Correct.
Sports Injury Central, we said, that's a throwing shoulder on the quarterback. Yeah. He's untradeable.
Correct.
At that point in time. Having that shoulder surgery late made him completely untradeable to anyone else.
And so I think learning from that situation just a year prior probably helped Jimmy kind of go through this process in 2023 differently, because if he elects to have the shoulder surgery again, he is unsignable, right? Because he's a quarterback that's damaged goods. You don't know when he's available. But because they delayed the surgery or they said, oh, he'll be fine, then he now, in a short window period of time, you have to sign sight unseen. Okay, you remember before where you remember how free agency used to be, man. Back. I can't believe I'm already saying back in the day, but you remember it was a free for all, and you agreed to terms. And very rarely did you see guys flunk a physical, and so you were hearing all these agreed to terms, and then they finally sometimes you'll have one or two that the deal kind of falls through because they didn't pass the physical. Same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo; he agreed to terms, sight unseen. And I think in the Raiders finally had a chance to go through that medical that you talked about. And all of a sudden their doctors say, wait, hold on. This thing ain't healed up right. It ain't healed the way that we think it should be healed, especially for the investment that we're about to make in this position. We got to figure something out. But more importantly, we feel more comfortable if you have surgery. I think ultimately that's what's happened. And my thing is, when will he be available to start throwing? He's probably throwing. I mean, I don't know. Everything is in the offseason. You can't find out. You don't know much until the season starts. So this right now is it's a tough period for the Raiders because you're putting a lot of eggs in the basket of Jimmy Garoppolo, and he may not be available till training camp.
Well, you're absolutely right, and here's my take on it. First of all, I think it's already big enough. The bad news is, this is a big deal to me that he's not available for OTAs. Right. Look, people made a big deal about Aaron Rodgers not being at OTAs for Green Bay. Correct. But Aaron Rodgers said, well, I know the system. Okay, Jimmy G knows the system. It's Josh McDaniels. But he doesn't know the other players, and the other players don't know him. And this is why Aaron Rodgers is smartly in OTAs in New York. Look, when Tom Brady went down to Tampa during the COVID years, he, quote, gathered people in the park on his own and did all sorts of things, right? Because he knew the importance of getting to know his personnel.
Correct.
And this is something that is going to be hard for the Raiders to do. I mean, Jimmy G may know the Oakland Raiders or Oakland, the Las Vegas Raiders system, where I go, because it's Josh McDaniels and it's New England Patriots. But there are tweaks to every system, and you got to get to know your personnel around you in terms of routes, but also linemen, you know, how you step up and what you do and cadences and protection calls and different things and audibles. So I think that's probably a big deal. But here's the other part of the physical thing that I would say, the good news and the bad news. First of all, side note, the 49ers, I've always said, have been very honest with injuries.
Right.
And now I got to say, coach speak is everywhere, right? And,
correct.
And I don't begrudge a coach or an organization to spin the truth. That's what they do. They're not lying. They're just, you know, they want to tell it their way to their advantage. And there's nothing wrong with that. This whole Jimmy G, nothing to see here with his shoulder before last season, can't be.
Correct.
And this time, and the whole Brock Purdy, it's not a Tommy John. Well, the ulnar collateral ligament is the Tommy John ligament.
Right.
Okay, it may not be the formal Tommy John reconstruction, but it's still surgery on the Tommy John ligament.
Right.
And they think he's going to be fine, but there's no way that you can guarantee it. And that's why I said there's no guarantee he's going to be ready week one. That's like judging the success of a Raiders draft right the night after you drafted. You can't.
You can't do that. Yeah.
And then this one now, it was a Lisfranc, then it wasn't a Lisfranc. It was Lisfranc, he needed surgery, then it wasn't Lisfranc, and he didn't need surgery. And now, by the contract that he signed with the Raiders itself, is a Lisfranc. Middle cuneiform, medial cuneiform, second metatarsal. That is the Lisfranc joint, the midfoot joint. So is it the classic Lisfranc? Maybe, maybe not. But it clearly is the Lisfranc joint.
Right.
But here's the other takeaway that I haven't said before that I thought about and found interesting. I don't know exactly, maybe you do, the contract status of Jimmy G when he was released by the 49ers. But you know very well, you can't cut an injured player.
Correct.
So if Jimmy G actually thought he wouldn't play for the Las Vegas Raiders, I almost said it again, Oakland. I can't help it myself. I grew up that way, but also at you,
the Las Vegas Raiders. Right.
He didn't need to sign that waiver where his signing bonus and everything is voided if his foot isn't healthy. Because if he really thought his foot wasn't going to be healthy or there was a chance, he could go back to the 49ers and say, you still owe me money. Now, maybe he still can. I don't know. He signed. Well, I guess not anymore. He signed with the Raiders, so it's moved on. But if he really thought that his foot wasn't going to be okay, he could always refuse to sign the waiver and sit there and go back to the 49ers and claim his contract money. Because you can't have a guy who's injured. So with that and also with timing, I believe the Raiders know and they're just protecting themselves in case that he'll be ready for the start of the season. But I still think it's a big deal not to be there through a big part of the offseason and training camp. So it'll be interesting to see.
No, it'll be interesting. You know, look, he's not participating in the on-field drills. You know, he's there. He's in a meeting room. He's talking with the guys. He's there physically with the players. He's there physically with the coaching staff. So he's around. He's one of the guys. But I think to your point, he has to be out there to develop the chemistry, to go through the audibles, to go through, hey, where does Devontae Adams like the football? Hunter Renfrow, new, you know, rookie tight end, Michael Mayer. They've got some players, but again, this also goes to a little catch up that he's going to have to play when preseason starts. Is this the year that we see Jimmy Garoppolo possibly playing in the preseason rather than taking some time off? If I'm the Raiders, I have to see what I have in Jimmy Garoppolo early on because I may have to make a move if this is not what it's supposed to look like.
Well, you know, this is what I was saying internally with the guys at Sports Injury Central related to the Denver Broncos last year.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's awesome, but correct, he didn't play in the preseason. He didn't do a lot. And it's not just add water. This is a team game. And the quarterback position being so important. But even you as a linebacker, you've got to take some snaps with your D linemen and know what they right, like to do and the blitz calls, but coverage and audibles, but also how to react and how a player plays. And there's a lot of subtleties to play as a unit. And I think it's very hard to just plug in play at all. And that's where we always at Sports Injury Central not only talk about injuries, but cluster injuries, like right, when an offensive line, like we're saying at the end of the year, it's one thing when the right tackle and right guard of the Bengals are out and they've been right, out for a while and you could shift protection. But when you lose Jonah Williams or left tackle, which way do you swing the protection?
Right.
That's a big, huge deal. And when you have cluster injuries where people move multiple spots along the line, the chemistry isn't there. You got to play some games to get that. So I always thought it was important to Russ for a quarterback, any quarterback right, like Russell Wilson, to play in the preseason and do more.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's funny that you bring up this. You've been around a lot of guys, guys who've had time away from football or from injury or anything like that. And I know I've been around those guys. Same thing for me. If I've missed an extended period of time, whether it's off season, regular season, whatever. And it's always funny. Remember the first thing that everyone always says, I couldn't wait to get hit. Right. I couldn't wait to feel the contact. I couldn't wait to feel, because that lets you know that you're back. You know, you can, people always say, oh, it should be like riding a bike. No, it's different, because sometimes it's a different feel now. It looks different. But well, man, you always want to get hit one time to always feel it. And that's when you feel, okay, it's real. I'm back. And that's always something I've always had people say throughout the years.
Well, I never said that.
No, not you. I'm just saying, guys telling you though, you know.
No, guys telling me, yeah.
It felt good to get hit, man. You know,
I will say this, and I tell patients this all the time, and NFL players and athletes, you're always going to have a question about your knee coming off an ACL, no matter yeah, how well you do, until you take a hit on the knee or something happens and you have that momentary, oh my gosh, that's my ACL knee. This is not good.
Right.
And then you gather yourself and you get up and you shake it off and you test it out and say, oh, I survived that. Got I'm it, fine. That's the final mental hurdle
correct,
to getting better from an injury too. And like you say, it's just taking that hit and before you, you know, put it behind yourself. And there is definitely something to that. All right, so I asked you a question for the Oakland Raiders great. I'll ask you a question as the San Diego State great. And by the way, just so you know, our guys that are San Diego State guys, when one time I asked them to name San Diego State greats, oh, they were right up on you, Kirk Morrison.
I love it. I appreciate it.
But number 28 wasn't in the vocabulary.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Young bucks, young fellow.
Young guys, man.
They remembered you. They were all over you. But 28, Marshall Faulk didn't get a nod initially. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Anyways, San Diego State question.
Sure.
What do you think happens to Matt Araiza and what should happen to him?
Well, I think that Matt Araiza is in a situation where his football career is still in front of him. It takes one team to sign him. The one thing that Matt Araiza is really good at, what he does, punting the football, kicking field goals, he's a weapon. He was, you know, labeled the punt god for a reason. I think he goes down as one of the great kickers to come out of San Diego State. Unfortunate, the incident that he was involved with at San Diego State, but he has been charged with no crime. Now, there is a civil suit that's pending, but the investigations have found him to be, you know, not, you know, innocent of all charges. And so I think that gives a team, you know, a little time to sit down, look at their roster, and say, can Matt Araiza help us? Are we willing to take sometimes the public backlash on bringing a guy in like this. It's crazy to think that, you know, last year we were talking about Deshaun Watson at this time and, you know, him being a Cleveland Brown, and yet he had all of these civil suits. I don't want to put them both together like this, but there were no criminal charges that came forward with Deshaun Watson. No charges were brought up. And so he's clearly moved on. He's settled a lot of those civil suits, and now he's back playing football, and we'll see how he looks this year, a full year of playing with the Cleveland Browns. I think Matt Ryan's the same thing. I think a team will sign him. He's already been in on one visit. I think other teams will look around. You know, we've seen the one thing that teams always neglect is special teams, and they kind of put it together, you know, throughout the season or as the season goes along. I honestly believe he gets another opportunity, and I think he makes the most of his opportunity. Never was a guy that I would put in a situation where, you know, you had a character issue. So I think that he moves forward, and hopefully, you know, he's able to keep his career on track that was derailed from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. Not only was he not proven guilty, he didn't even have to be proven innocent. There were never charges filed.
Yeah, nothing was filed.
There's a civil case, and of course, anything can look bad in a civil case. And I'm not taking sides on the case, but clearly, there's no criminal charges happening. Clearly, the description was a bad description, right?
Right.
And any way you look at it, I hope he gets a chance, but it's still not a good look because for a team. But also, he's not going to get the chance at the same contractual value. He might get a chance at minimum, and then see from there. So hopefully. You know, it works itself out. I feel bad for the kid, assuming his innocence there. And it's a tough situation. It's tough for teams. It's tough.
Yeah.
And look, it also just goes to show, so they may say special teams is important, but in the end, a punter is different than a quarterback. And in the end, they're not going to take away special teams players' livings by changing rules, i.e. kickoffs and other things.
Yeah.
They're not going to take away a quarterback's living.
Correct.
Yeah. By changing the rules. I mean, it's they're going to only protect them because that's what drives the league, right?
It does.
QBs. Yeah.
But, you know, like I hope for the best for him. I, you know, definitely want to see him compete in the National Football League. I mean, won numerous awards in college, and I just hope he gets that opportunity in the NFL. So I think he deserves it, and hopefully use this sort of as a redemption comeback story for a guy that never really had his career even start.
Well, you know, I think, you know, media and information fools a lot of people. Even I kind of got fooled when you start hearing some of the stories about that. I was like, this is not good. And
correct.
And quite honestly, talking to some of my guys, was internally faulting San Diego State because I said, you still promoted, you knew there was all this going on in the background, yet you still promoted him for all these punter awards. If you knew it was going on in the background, okay, you're going to wait for charges or the police, that's fine, but you probably shouldn't promote him as part of the thing. But as I always say, when something, and that didn't make sense to me, why San Diego State would do that. But I would say this, and I say this all the time medically, when something doesn't make sense, it's just because we don't know all the information.
Absolutely.
When Jimmy Garoppolo's delay of the contract didn't make sense, it did make sense. It just didn't to us because we didn't
have the information.
And in the San Diego State case, I think it's conceivable they knew how the facts were going to come out. And therefore, they said, why penalize the kid? Let's promote him for the punter awards. They sort of knew, or the police would whisper. And you know that. I mean, San Diego State is not the San Diego Chargers, is not the Las Vegas Raiders, but there's a reason the director of security for pretty much every NFL team is a recent former high-ranking police
official.
Officer.
Yeah, always. Right?
There's a reason why, like people say Las Vegas, the Raiders, and, you know, it's a bad thing, they're in Vegas. Let me tell you, the director of security for the Las Vegas Raiders knows where
everybody is
at every club or casino in town because of all the cameras and because of all the sources and different things. That's their job to kind of keep tabs on people. They actually know. And I would imagine San Diego State probably had some intel somewhere along the road indicating where this was going to maybe end up. And that's why they did what they did in promoting the kid. And so another case of things make sense in the end. And if you don't think they do, there's usually a reason. Like if you're thinking there's no reason, it doesn't make sense that DeAndre Hopkins is getting released by the Cardinals. Oh, it does. It just, you haven't heard all of the reasons yet.
Correct. You're right. Valley
gap or otherwise, there's something about it all. What else you want to talk about, Kirk? I mean, we can catch up. Anything you want to do?
No, that's about it, man. I'm just, you know, enjoying this time as we get ready for a season. I think it's going to be one in which I look forward to, because I think just a loaded AFC. It's so many good quarterbacks from, you know, I think the AFC West now, Russell Wilson with Sean Payton now, what does that look like? Justin Herbert and the weapons that he has with the Chargers. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes speaks for himself. You know, you look at Trevor Lawrence in year three, you know, that's the biggest jump I've always said for a quarterback is year three. You look at, you know, obviously the Houston Texans drafting CJ Stroud. So that's a young up and coming team, man. The gauntlet of the AFC North is going to be fun. It is going to be fun. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, right? This is going to be one of those epic, I think, conferences this year. Even Kenny Pickett with the Steelers. I mean, Steelers, I think they're a much better team. And you already mentioned Aaron Rodgers earlier, you know, with the Jets, Tua with the Dolphins. I feel like Bill O'Brien rejoining the Patriots as their offensive coordinator. I don't put anything past New England and Bill Belichick, right? And then Buffalo and Josh Allen. And who knows, do they acquire DeAndre Hopkins? That AFC is going to be a gauntlet. And then in the NFC side, I really like the Cowboys this year doing something, making some noise. I think that they've been through a lot, but they're a really good football team. Does Jalen Hurts take a new step after being the richest contract in history for 5 minutes in the NFL until Lamar Jackson surpasses him? You know, my former college teammate at San Diego State, can Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, can they repeat as champions in the NFC North, or Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions take over that division now that Aaron Rodgers has exited stage left, and we get a full dose of Jordan Love this year, man. So it is just storyline after storyline. I'm excited. I can't wait. I really can. I mean, Derek Carr, you mentioned Raiders earlier. He's now going to be with the New Orleans Saints. He's the best quarterback in that division. So could the Saints find their way into the playoffs and be a true contender, you know, this year in the NFL?
Absolutely. So, and you mentioned Trevor Lawrence, not only is it his third year, it's his second year in the same system.
Correct.
Another jump, right?
It's another jump. Yeah. You know, I've always said, people, the biggest jump in the NFL is not year one to year two. The biggest jump, I think, for a lot of players is year two to year three, because the game actually slows down. And if you actually have the same coaching staff and terminology, slows down even more, because now you know what the calls, you know what they expect. And I always say, now you've become an upperclassman in the NFL too, right? The third year is like you become the upperclassman. You
know? you're on the other side of the hump.
You're on the other side now.
So you mentioned a lot of teams that could go somewhere. Which teams don't have a chance?
Well, I think Arizona Cardinals. I mean, right now with the quarterback situation, you could speak more on the Kyler Murray. I mean, the true timeline of that injury. And even still, you know, you mentioned getting hit on that knee. Well, you know, one of the biggest attributes for Kyler Murray is his ability to run and make plays and improvise. That will be slowed down a bit with the injury at first, because you may want to be a pocket passer, which takes away from that ability to improvise and get the ball down the field. So that's a team I'm looking at. I mean, I'm looking at Houston, not because they're a bad team, but because they're going to be young. You know, they've got a young quarterback, but they're going to be fiery. They're going to be ready to go. Indianapolis. I mean, they're kind of hit or miss. Are you banking all of it on Anthony Richardson in year one, or is this a process that they understand they may take some lumps this year? The NFC South. Whoa, that is going to be. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the first year after Tom Brady, what does that look like now? That is not going to be a fun division. A fun team to look at, I think. Carolina, and you know, the number one overall pick, Bryce Young. They've got some pieces, but can they truly contend? Right. Mm-hmm. So there's some teams that if you look around the league, you know, even Washington, how much do you believe in Sam Howell? A lot of teams who you say, they can be good, but if they're, you know, a bottom feeder or two, I just wouldn't be surprised. And so I think when it comes down to it, it's the teams that don't have a true legitimate quarterback. It's a lot of, hey, we've got a lot of faith in this guy, but it's nothing that to where you say, you know what, I'm going to put up the mortgage on the house for this one. I don't see that confidence in some of those players. And I think that's why, you know, I don't have confidence, you know, saying that this is the team that can take it to the next step.
All right, final question for you.
All right.
Your old quarterback, Kevin O'Connell, calls yeah. Morrison, I need you as a coach. You're inspirational. Wow. I need help on the defensive side. Do you answer the call?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. That is a tough one. I would have to ask my wife about that one. If she says go do it, yeah. If she says go do it, go do it. Because I got some young ones, you know, we got the young kids. So it's always hard to want to leave the family to go out and do it. And I know the life of a coach. I feel like I do have a passion to coach, but I also have a passion for what I'm doing now, you know, so explaining the game and commentating. So I'm coaching, but doing it a little bit different way of doing of coaching, but also being able to have a little bit more time with the family. So I would answer the call and I would see what I can do. And I may just be one of those training camp interns, right? You know how it is. You come for training camp and you may stop through in and out during the season. You may mentor a player here throughout the season. So I'll definitely be up for that though.
Gotcha. Well, you know, Kirk, I know you well enough that you're going to succeed in whatever you do, whether it was at San Diego State, whether it was the Oakland Raiders or, you know, Jacksonville or media stuff, or if you get into coaching or being a dad. So whatever you want to do, I'm sure you'll be great with it all. Now, I guess final is Oakland native.
Yeah.
Raiders are now in Vegas and the A's are heading to Vegas. Any thoughts there?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunate. I'm torn that my hometown city has lost everything, right, in terms of the sporting teams, right? Even the Warriors went from Oakland. They now play in San Francisco for the last three seasons. You mentioned the Raiders taking off and going. And now with the A's, we've kind of lost it all. I get it. I understand it. But there's two sides to this. I'm torn because kids won't grow up and have that hometown team, right? But it's not like San Francisco's too far away. And I would hate for kids to Oakland to be San Francisco fans, but I grew up with half of my friends 49er fans because the Raiders weren't in Oakland. They were somewhere else. So half my friends were 49er fans anyway. So I guess there's going to be a lot of people growing up with those teams in the Bay Area. But I will say this. I do enjoy going to Vegas now, watching football and maybe baseball now. So it gives me a reason to go to Vegas, right? Who doesn't need a reason to go to Vegas?
A business trip now.
Excellent. Exactly.
All right, my friend Kirk, appreciate you. You're everywhere. I appreciate your friendship and your wisdom. Thanks for spending all this time with us. We'll take a quick break on the Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast and come back with part.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two. All right. Welcome back to part two of this week's Pro Football Doc podcast, Sports Injury Central podcast. Kirk Morrison, good guest. Look, I was surprised you guys, Mr. San Diego State people, didn't jump on San Diego State hero in that part of the podcast. I mean, for Taylor, it's a double whammy. Oakland Raider great.
A little bit before time, but
Aztec great. You guys probably didn't even know who he was, though.
He's not Marshall Faulk, right?
You should have known him in Oakland if you didn't know him at San Diego State.
I knew him in Oakland because he was part of the years where we were terrible, which is when I watched the most, which is weird. So I do remember.
All, right. All good. No, Kirk's a good dude. Wait,
Norv Turner, no. Art Spellman, Lane Kiffin, something like that.
Art Shell.
All Art Shell. I didn't realize he played for six different Art Shell, head coaches in eight seasons. That's a lot.
they were going through a lot those years. So
that's a lot. All right. Part two of the podcast. We got a lot of different things going on, even football things and non-football things. I don't know. You want to talk about all the optimism of Breece Hall or baseball injuries or basketball? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, we covered Breece Hall during OTAs and stuff, but it's funny to hear Robert Saleh give his miles per hour. He's like, he's going 22 miles an hour. as it echoes in my ear that straight running is never an issue with the ACL. Yeah.
All right.
Straight line running is not the problem.
All right, let's chat a bit about Breece Hall. I love the optimism on Breece Hall. I love that Robert Saleh is optimistic. I love that he's saying he's hoping, expecting, or optimistic week one. I love the fact that he's saying he's hitting 22 miles an hour on the GPS. Doesn't mean anything in terms of an ACL recovery. And here's why. It's about cutting and deceleration to gain yards. It's not straight line running. What I want to see video of is Breece Hall straight line running at high speeds. And I believe he can do that. And that's awesome. But I'll bet it takes him 30 yards to slow down as opposed to everyone else stopping on a dime. That's what happens. And you don't want your head coach being pessimistic. Oh, well, we'll see. I don't think he's going to be there. Look, spring, you know, hope springs eternal, right? And this is spring for football. Mm-hmm. And it's good to have optimism. But as we talked about with Michael Fabiano last week, the ADPs are still overrated in terms of what's happening with Breece Hall. I hope I'm wrong. But high-end speed doesn't mean anything. You guys remember the Odell Beckham chat we had years ago, and he was running really fast on the treadmill. And Odell and I said, looks great, but it's about deceleration and cutting. This is straight-line running. And I said, and the video looks sped up. And he came back with, the video is not sped up. All I mean is, if you record it on an iPhone and put it on Twitter or an Android, you know, the speeds vary a little bit. Not that he was doctoring purposely the video, but he agreed he's not there yet in acceleration and deceleration and cutting. And what happened? That was ahead of the year that he was with the Browns and got traded to the Rams. Kind of like we said, his start of the season was going to be rough. It was very rough in Cleveland. And then by the end of the year with the LA Rams, he won a Super Bowl and it was pretty good. Now, was that all Matt Stafford versus Baker Mayfield? No. Was it all Sean McVay's scheme versus Cleveland Browns scheme? No. Some of it was Beckham's knee getting into better shape. Same for Breece Hall. Maybe he's going to be ready week one. Maybe he's going to suit up week one. But I'll bet you he's going to have better games later in the season than early. So good to have optimism, not trying to destroy the Jets' hopes and dreams. But there's no way that he's going to be 100% week one. Maybe he'll be on the football field. Remember, we always say 85% is a good week in the NFL. Now, more so 85% come week 8 and week 12 than week 1. But we'll see. There's a lot of time. And good to hear positive reports. I guarantee you, you never hear negative reports. You only hear positive reports. So those are some Breece Hall thoughts. And yeah, we'll upgrade his six score as we go along, as we get closer to the season, because we'll look at video and see if he looks better. So far, I haven't seen any. And if you guys do or anyone does, show me.
Well, speaking of ADPs, another running back too is Javonte Williams, going in the fourth round, fifth round in some fantasy leagues. That's, like you said, overrated. I don't know if they're understanding like the Breece Hall stuff. Like, he may play week one, he may not, but you're getting about 7 weeks of not great Breece Hall and not great Javonte Williams. So it's like you said, they're too high, both of them. They're both in the same line of thought right now.
Well, in our opinion, and you know, honestly, our best feature on Sick Picks has probably been futures, team futures and player individual totals, over under yardage, et cetera. We were 17-8, and there were some plus money numbers in there too. So it was better than that, Sick Picks. And we got to start looking at that because some of those numbers are out. We'll start looking at
that. They are starting to leak out, yeah.
And the key is to jump on now before they move.
Numbers move. Yep, absolutely.
All right, so Breece Hall, not being pessimistic. Oh, and Aaron Rodgers, calf. Okay, he's got a calf. They'll take their time. It's fine. Look, can he be back out on the practice field later this week? Maybe, but, you know, he's not scrambling. He just needs to drop back and run the offense. It's he doesn't need to scramble and run in OTAs.
We're working on an article right now, but one I was surprised by your high six score is Kyle Pitts, the torn MCL from last November 20th. MCL that required surgery. Remember, it's pretty brutal. He took a helmet right to the knee went backwards. Why are we so high on him coming into the season, Doc?
Well, I may not be as high as you think now that you remind me of some of the information. Okay. I have zero worries about an isolated MCL, but isolated MCLs don't always need surgery. So I may have to revise that. And this is why we go by checklists and information in terms of surgery. My guess is we're going to find out there was more than MCL. And if that's the case, we may revise what a six score. And this is why, you know, I always say an ACL is not an ACL. A hamstring is not a hamstring. A groin is not a groin. It's not, depends on the grade, severity, side type of player. To use a cookie cutter number, a grade two Liz Frank is boom this, or a high ankle sprain grade two Patrick Mahomes is 4 to 6 weeks. He's going to miss the Super Bowl. No way, right? It's just different on different people. And that's really what we're all about, right, guys? I mean, injury analysis as opposed to injury reporting. But the injury analysis is from pro sports team doctors who have worked with these players and been in the room, not a cookie cutter. Here's the algorithm. Here's the report. We take it as gospel, and we apply this algorithm that's taken as gospel. That's true for the masses. If you have 100 MCL sprains, grade twos are this long. That's true. But in this case, on this player, on this side, on this team, and really, is it a grade two or is it not based on video and peripheral information? My suspicion on Kyle Pitts is it's more than an isolated MCL. Why did he have surgery? So we should go back and look at all of that. And maybe I jumped the gun because I forgot that he had surgery. So call
that an error. That's an interesting one. He's the polarizing fantasy opinion guy. So.
Well, let's take a look at it. Let's gather the data and see, because you know me, you guys got to keep me on track. I can't remember all this little stuff.
We're having your brain tune into basketball and sleeper picks, because everyone that's been following us on Twitter, we're doing a sleeper picks promo. You sign up, first time depositors get $100 match. So we've been dipping into some of the props on that one. Done pretty well for game 6 and 7. I think we went 5 and 1.
No, you guys have done great. The team has done great. You guys hit the three-way parlay for game 6, and we're 2 out of 3 for game 7. Didn't hit it. And these are all injury-based picks where the lines are an anomaly, so to speak. And I think it's a good strength of six score. You guys educated me. I'm not a gambling guy. I told you I don't gamble. I don't have a gambling account. I'm in California. But sleeper picks, underdog, prize picks, they're all legal in California. They're legal in most states. And it's a fantasy DFS formulation, which makes it legal for to win money, right? You can wager real money and get matches. And listeners here, go to sportsindustrycentral6score.com. You'll see the promos. Sleeper will match you $100. Use the code SIC and follow along. We'll walk you through. The site will walk you through some of the better plays, especially when a sleeper or underdog offers a promo where, you know, they alter the line. So basically they're giving you one leg of the parlay, and you can just pick two others and get three-leg parlay money kind of deal.
They had a Tatum promo earlier. Remember, it was a half a point, and that was the night we hit three out of three. So you would have, if you would have put him with the three with the Tatum, you would have had four. That would have been, yeah, like you said.
Oh, you didn't even take the Tatum one. You took three on your own.
Yeah, so that's what, because you don't want to take Tatum's automatic. That's like a throw, you know, they're giving it to you. Four more than a point, right?
All right, so four for four. Yeah, what was his
expert pick?
5 points scored that day or something? Yeah. It's too bad his ankle hampered him, but I still think the Heat would have won. And Tyler Hero.
You can get the latest insight on Tyler Hero at the top of the site. Yep. We put out a video, an article on him. It'd be interesting to see when he returns, but I'm sure we'll be all over a prop when they put that up.
Yeah, he'll return, and I don't think there's going to be any minutes restrictions. I think he's going to be good to go. I always thought at least 6 weeks seemed like a high number. He's approaching 6 weeks and about ready to come back. So I guess that's at least 6 weeks. I think there was a chance for earlier, but he will play in these NBA finals. What game is the question? And I think sooner than people think.
Yeah, because game three seems like a too far in. I think we've been very optimistic on his chances to play, and we even thought there's a slight chance he could return seven. So three seems really bad because there's a chance that they could be down 2-0 by the chance he returns. So I don't really like when I first saw I think Chris Haynes from Yahoo said that. I just don't – I think, like you said, I would think he comes earlier, right? I don't like the fact that there's a chance that he comes back when they're down 2-0 already.
I mean – Tyler Hero is a shooter.
Yes. Very good shoot.
Unless for some reason the hand still bothers him for shooting. Is he going to reach in and play defense? That's when he's going to aggravate it. But he's a shooter. I think
he's never done that before, the defensive part. So, I mean, he's a 20-point scorer, and he can cut, shoot, he can drive, make threes. So, like you said, that's all on that side. So, they wouldn't work. Yeah. Like you say, is it more of a rotation or rust for why they wouldn't put him back to the rotation? Because they're doing well with what they have right now, right?
So, well, I think it's a coaching decision is the bottom line, right? And Tyler Hero, rust, upset. I mean, obviously the Heat have done well without him with the current rotation. Right. So maybe there's a reason to keep it as is.
Right, it's an interesting baseball injury too, Doc. We ran by Eduardo Rodriguez, left-handed pitcher for the Tigers, had a left index finger A4 pulley. I don't know, a bunch of jumble to me, but seems significant. I mean, people get a blister on their index finger and they can't pitch for a week. So what's the read on that?
Let's talk about the Detroit Lions and their injury reporting.
The Tigers.
Fantastic. I wish every team would do that. As we pull up their injury report here, they give great detail here. I mean, not only do they say left index finger, and he's a left-handed pitcher, not only do they say pulley injury, they say pulley rupture, and they name the pulley A4. There are eight different pulleys, and they were so specific, they said A4 rupture, compared to, let's say, a Houston Astros injury report would be upper body. At best, right? I mean, it's amazing.
Left finger discomfort. Yeah.
Like good laziness, right? It's like instead of making their own media report, they just copied the doctor's notes, maybe. Like that's what I would do. I feel like it's like good laziness.
Well, look, I'm not hating on the Astros or Dusty Baker. Okay. You guys know Dusty a little bit, this, that, the other, but that's just their style. They don't want to say anything. And the Detroit Lions,
Tigers,
boom, they give it, you know, and there's no reason to think it's not accurate. I mean, when they're giving that much detail, and it's just a different style. The Astros are on the other end of the spectrum. Look, the Patriots and Bill Belichick are giving shit all the time, giving grief about their injury reporting. At press conferences, he says nothing. And he legally puts anyone with any sort of injury as questionable. Yeah. If they're 99% playing, questionable. That's within the rules. Yep. They're not cheating the system. The Astros are within the rules, saying nothing. The Detroit Tigers are within the rules, saying everything. But I have to applaud the Tigers for being so specific. I haven't seen that out of any other team. But in terms of the actual injury, left index finger A4 pulley. This is a big deal, and I don't think anyone has really caught on to how big a deal this is. As you say, a blister will cost a pitcher time. Look, this is the index finger. I'm no
pitcher. Can you show? Where's the A4 at?
The A4 pulley. So this is on my right hand because I'm right-handed, but the A4 pulley is right here. And there's eight pulleys. Two of them are important to prevent bowstringing. The pulley keeps the tendon. Look, when you bend your finger, the tendency is for the tendon to bow out away from your finger. The two pulleys that are important, not trying to do anatomy lesson, and I hate pulling out models and pictures, but I'm sure producer will pull up a picture here to show where it is. The A4 pulley is in the middle phalanx, and the two pulleys that are important to prevent bowstringing of the eight are A2 and A4. We don't have to worry about A2, but A4 is an important pulley to prevent bowstringing. If it's ruptured, he has a tendency to bowstring. At this point in time, this is a much bigger deal than anyone is making out of this. This is his index finger. And if you have bowstringing, not only does it affect your power, it changes your grip a little bit. Grip is everything for a pitcher. Thus, sticky substance or slippery substance or, you know, grip, you know, all the talk about it. And this is the index finger, arguably the most important finger for grip for a slider, a cutter, a fastball, you know, maybe less so for a changeup. But the bottom line is very important. If a blister bothers pitchers, and it's rightful that it does, bowstringing of the tendon, and there aren't a lot of examples of it out there, is a big deal. You guys know me, I'm not an alarmist, but a worst case scenario for an A4 pulley rupture is surgery. And a worst case scenario with surgery means the season and maybe even leaking into the start of next season if the A4 pulley needs a formal reconstruction. Huge deal. I'm not suggesting a worst case scenario. But a best case scenario is going well beyond 15-day IL. I mean, they say they're going to reassess them in a week or so and come up with a throwing plan. That doesn't mean they're going to start a throwing plan in a week or 10 days. That means they're going to reassess him to see how much longer he needs to be immobilized potentially before stressing that A4 pulley and index finger tendon. Like, if I were him or Detroit Lions fan and you, Detroit Tigers fan, and you told me he's good to go 100% 60 days from now, I would take it.
Really?
15 days doesn't seem realistic. And there's the potential downside of losing him for a lot longer. We'll see. Maybe it's not a complete rupture. Maybe that media report oversells it a little bit. But I... You know, it's not a Tommy John, okay? It's not an ulnar collateral, but it's the index finger pitching hand. It's a rupture of one of the important pulleys that will affect his grip. This is a big deal. I mean, okay, he can physically throw a pitch, but if his grip isn't right, where's the control? And he's not an overpowering pitcher. It's about control and precision. And so can he even get the job done, even if he were put out there? So suffice it to say, this is something for Tigers fans to watch very closely. A big deal in our opinion.
That's unfortunate. He's had his lowest ERA this year at 2.13, and the Tigers have been surprising. They're second in the Central, so this would could maybe start botting them down because they weren't supposed to be this high. So that is a huge injury. And there's another one coming up, right? Riley Green as well, outfielder. Second broken bone in 2 years.
What was the other broken bone?
Broken right foot. He could have fouled off a ball. Garrett Cole, Yankees in 2002, April. He missed the start of the season about a month. He didn't return.
All right, so that's a foul ball. That's not a drink milk situation.
Yeah, I wanted to set you up for the milk situation.
I mean, if you would have told me it was another stress fracture somewhere else, I'd be more worried.
You'd be, wait a second,
But a stress fracture in the fibula. Depends on where it is and how early in the stress fracture process it is. I mean, worst case scenario, stress fractures can sometimes need surgery and bone grafting, assuming that's not the case, because he's been playing up until this finding of the stress fracture. I would hope and assume it's mild, but let me tell you once again, stress fractures don't heal in days. They heal in at least weeks, and sometimes months. So you have to assume 10-day IL at least, and once again, hopefully can avoid 60. Stress fractures happen because of lack of blood flow in a certain area. The stress is higher on that area of bone, and it's the healing is slower too. If you actually have a fracture with hematoma bleeding and then callus formation, not to bore people, but it's healing with secondary intention, resolving callus and blood, and that actually is quicker than end-to-end bone growth. And that's what happens in a stress fracture. Sure, he'll get a bone stimulator. He might get some other bone healing medication, hopefully, and I doubt it. I doubt he'll need surgery, but hopefully he can be back in multiple weeks, not months, but it's not going to be days.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that about wraps it up. Beast of the week. I got in same division, Liam Hendricks, the White Sox pitcher, making it back from stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I believe. Just made his debut the other night, and he's back with the team a little over 5 months, I think it was.
Yeah. Beast of the week. Well, before I get fully to Beast of the Week, I actually have a surprise nominee for Beast of the Week. But okay. This morning I tweeted out something, and I'm surprised how many people... Did you guys know about the tax situation?
I know about Florida's tax. I don't know about Texas.
What about Florida's tax?
There's no I know that I can. There's no sales tax, so I can go get my school clothes there for free, and or like no tax, and then go back home. That's what I used to do every single summer. That's what I know about Florida taxes.
Well, I saw some media saying that Victor Wembanyama is going to save millions. It's lucky that the Spurs drafted him, or going to draft him, number one, right? And he's going to save. He's not going to have to pay income tax. Fake news. You always have to pay federal income tax, no matter what state that you're mm-hmm. in.
Yep.
And guess what? When Wembanyama plays the Clippers, the Lakers, the Warriors, the state of California is going to tax him.
His
when
job
he plays the Knicks, the state yeah. of New York is going to tax him.
Yep.
When he plays the Nets, New York State is going to tax him. So it doesn't matter if you live in a no state income tax, whether Florida or Texas. When you go play, when the Texans play the 49ers or the Chargers or the Rams, that Texans player's paycheck that week is not the same as the previous week for a home game.
Right.
They withhold state income tax. You know, it's literally, professional athletes have pro athlete accountants that literally file state income tax forms in, like, I don't know, 15 different states, depending on, you know, how many different play areas they play in. And for football, it's 1/17th of your salary. The Texans player may say, well, I only played there on Sunday. I worked the whole week. So it should be 1/7 of my 1/17 salary. The state of California says, nope, you played that game. You were paid for playing that game. We don't care where you were the rest of the week. You yep. played and, quote, earned, cashed your check that day, so to speak, even though players get paid on Tuesday and you get for the week.
Mm-hmm.
But if that Sunday you play in California, and I'm not trying to single out California, I just happen to live in California.
It's just the rules.
And it is an income tax state. And it's the same in other income tax states. Your check is different. So is there a difference of signing in Florida or Texas when you're talking about millions and millions of dollars? Absolutely. But it's not as though there is no state income tax, because each state will still take theirs.
Right.
Now, the other side of the coin is players, when they're done, especially in football, often file work comp claims in 8 different states, because they say, well, I may not have ever played for a California football team, but I played in California, and you guys in California took out work comp taxes from me, which makes me eligible for the system.
So now if I have a work comp injury and or disability, I'm going to file under the work comp system in all these different states. And I see it. You know, they're entitled because they paid into the tax system there. I'm not a financial expert at all. I was just pointing that out, that the in sports, things are more complicated. There's just a lot of different things. And that's where I think we have the advantage of having been, quote, in the room when it happened, dealt with these pro athletes, the panel of doctors. It's just different insight. This has nothing to do with doctoring whatsoever, but this is just what players talk about. This is what, you know, look, when I work for the X Games as the chief medical officer, the first prize might have been $50,000, but you didn't get $50,000 when it was in LA. Not only take the federal withholding, you had the state withholding, you know, and it's different when, you know, the X Games was in a different state because there's different tax rates. It's not all the same. It's based on where you live and where you worked, right? Kind of deal. It's a complicated process is all.
Super, yeah.
All right, Beast of the Week. You know what I want to throw out there? The Beast of the Week combination. I don't know. I forget the name of the golfer. Who is the golfer that hit into the water this weekend on 18? Up by 2 strokes. All he had to do was par out, you know, take out your 3-iron, you know, and get your standard par, and he wins the tournament. The people behind him were 2 back. I think a hole back, they were 2 back. Hard to make that up, right? Instead, he hits it into the water. And my first nomination for Beast of the Week is that golf ball. It kept moving for 5 minutes in that little drainage. I mean, that's one heck of a golf ball. For 5 minutes, it kept moving?
And then...
it wasn't like he was down a river.
That was a great shot. It was like trickling.
Trickle. I was amazed. I mean, I was surprised the PGA allowed that stream to be there. They didn't figure out a solution. I mean, I don't know what the deal was, but that golf ball is a beast. I think it moved for longer than 5 minutes. They stopped and said, you just got to play on and take your penalty. Because in theory, I think he could have waited for it to stop and hit it, depending on where it stopped. Right, depending on where it stopped, or someone was saying that he could have swung on it as it was moving slowly.
Yeah, he could have said he can swing again. Yep, yeah. I was reading about it.
That golfer would have been a beast if he did that. But
Emiliano Grillo, I think I said his name right.
Yeah, and then he went on the practice range and then invited some kids to hit with him.
Yeah,
I mean, how great is that? That he's calm enough to invite some kids to hit with him and stayed calm instead of blowing the tournament. He won it in the playoff holes. So I'd say between the golf ball and Grillo, the golfer, their beast of the week for doing that. A golf ball that keeps moving for 5 minutes. I mean,
even the rules expert, he said he's never seen that in 25 years. So he's glad he's able to remember it. Imagine the rules expert that's literally in charge of everything saying, I've never seen this 25 years. What do we do here?
Well, if you haven't seen it in 25 years, that golf ball qualifies as a beast.
Yep.
They kept moving. All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks to Kirk Morrison again. And, you know, we'll see you next week. NBA playoffs. Go to SIC Score. You guys will figure out some injury-based props. Where you
finals,
can
Jamal money. Murray. Healthy. Yep.
Yeah, good job. Jamal Murray and the Nuggets were our healthiest team coming into the season. They're certainly healthy now. Jamal Murray, second year off the ACL, looks great. Jokic. And looks great, triple doubles. This first game, is it rust for Denver? I don't know. They've been playing well all season.
It's like a well-oiled machine. I don't
think they're on a hot streak. If it's a hot streak, rust sets in and the rest. They've been this all season, and Miami's got to be a little tired, and remember, high altitude. I mean, you're right. If they wait for game three, they might be down 0-2 if they wait for game three for Tyler Hero to come back. But then again, what do they always say? A playoff series doesn't start till a road team wins, right?
Yep.
I mean, if all you're doing is hold and serve, That's what you expect. Yep. All right. Thanks for watching and listening. Pro Football Doc, Sports Injury Central podcast. And we'll see you next week. And plenty of videos and information on the website.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.